the Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1, 2, and 3. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling which you were called, with all lowliness, gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Well, if you recognize that, that's Paul's writings to the church of Ephesians. And what a challenge it is. And I do not believe that challenge has stopped even in 2026 for those of us who are followers of Jesus Christ. This is Bert Harper along with Dr. Alex McFarland. And we thank you for joining us today. And Alex, when you read the book of Ephesians, you find scripture after scripture after scripture that teaches so much. But I love that you walk worthy of the calling. We have a worthy calling. We ought to have a worthy walk, shouldn't we?
Amen. Amen. Well, it's great to be with you, Bert, and just a great honor to have everybody listening. And folks, you've tuned in on the right day because we're just beginning the New Testament book of Ephesians. And Bert, I want to commend you. What we do, folks, when we're, you know, wrapping up one book, like we just wrapped up the book of Isaiah, and we spent time over the weekend praying, and we were on the phone planning, and Bert keeps a really, really detailed list. And Bert, I think you said the last time we did Ephesians was like 2015.
It was. We went over it a little bit in 25, but not as particular. And that's, I noticed that as well as I was going through my records. And but it is such an awesome book. I think it's a good follow-up for Isaiah, Alex.
Well, it is. Well, for one thing, okay, roughly this is about 60 A.D. Paul has been through an imprisonment in Rome, and during this time he wrote several epistles, which are letters to churches, and probably the intent was that they would get circulated around a lot of churches in Asia Minor, but at least chapters 1 through 3 of Ephesians, for one thing that's so beautiful, it talks about our position in Jesus Christ. And maybe a lot of people, one of the first memory verses you ever learned if you were in a discipleship program was Ephesians 2, 8 through 10.
Amen.
You know, for by grace are you saved through faith. But I think it's very important. All right, there are the implications and the responsibilities of who we are in Christ. And so the six chapters, it's not a long book, but it really does speak to our identity, our position in Jesus as a believer, and really all the many, many blessings. And, you know, Bert, we talk about the obligations or responsibilities of being a disciple, but in light of all the blessings, the security, and the standing that we have in Jesus, oh my goodness, how could we not, with the help of the Holy Spirit every day, rise to our Christian responsibilities? It's the least we can do in light of all that Christ has done for us.
Well said. Our position should determine our practice. And like you said, the first three chapters is what we have in Christ, our position in Christ. But then the last three talk about, okay, now that you know this and you have this, what are you going to do with it? And he shares with the Ephesians what they should. One thing that I found interesting that I know is new this time that I didn't mention, and I really had not thought about it, the founding of the church at Ephesus has a lot more detail in it than a lot of other the other cities that Paul went to. We find it in chapter 18, 19, 20, and it's even mentioned in 21. And it occupies most of the space of chapter 19 and 20. But we find it in Acts 18 when Paul goes there. And I felt led that it would be good to look at that because, Alex, he didn't spend a lot of time the first time, but he was so impressed that he made sure he came back the second time. Now listen to this. It says this in, again, 18 of Acts, verse 23. After he had spent some time there, he departed and went over all the regions of Galatia, Phrygia, and in order strengthening all the disciples. Now a certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria, eloquent man, mighty in the spirit, came to Ephesus. That's in chapter 18, verse 24. But in Acts chapter 18, verse 18, guess what happened? Paul came there. And in verse 18, it says, so Paul still remained a good while. Then he took leave of the brethren, sailed for Syria. Priscilla and Aquila were with him. He had his hair cut off at Syntyche, for he had taken a vow. And he came to Ephesus and left them there. Now, Alex, again, you find this chapter 19 following up in 20. We find out a lot that the church and the city of Ephesus was one of the major cities. It was a religious center for many, many, I would say, pagan gods, but especially one. And so here we find this Ephesian church, like the church at Corinth, I would say others, that's right in the center of paganism. And out of that paganism, there's a few believers, but guess what? They grow and they share and they tell the good news of Christ and others are drawn to them. I love the founding of the church at Ephesus. You have Paul involved. You have, Aquila, Priscilla involved. You have Apollos involved. And when you have that, I thought it was interesting that many people investing themselves in the saints there in Ephesus.
Well, yeah, and you mentioned the paganism there. And by the way, Paul, didn't he stay longer in Ephesus than probably any other place on his missionary journey?
He did. Like 2 to 3 years. Yeah, 2 to 3 years at least, Alex. You're right.
Yeah, and so there's this city. And, of course, everybody knows about Diana of Ephesus. But there were two kind of female fertility goddesses. Artemis was the huntress, a huntress god. And there was a temple in Ephesus to this false god Artemis. But then Diana was really this mother goddess worshipped in the Roman Empire, depicted kind of for fertility and just a lot of... Well, you know, when Romans talks about man forsaking the true and living God, and they make human images, and images that are human deities and animal things that are deified. I mean, this is like this. And so the city of Ephesus was very entrenched in this. And the thing about it, when Paul preached and so many people became converted to Jesus, I mean, there was a riot among the silversmiths who had a lucrative trade in making shrines to this goddess, Diana. Bert, I remember reading Kingdom of the Cults by Walter Martin. Do you remember?
I do, yes.
He was on the radio many years ago, raised up very prominently during the Jesus movement of the 70s. But Walter Martin said, and I really think it's true, that behind all of the pagan deities or statues or idols is really demonic influence. And I would agree. And some of these ancient goddesses that, oddly enough, people are trying to learn about and gravitate toward today. I mean, if you go in major secular bookstores, Bert, there's just books about witchcraft, Satanism, and ancient paganism. And so into that context, Paul successfully evangelized a lot of people, and we're called to do the same thing today.
We are in difficult times, hard times. All the Eastern religions, again, you can, if you listen to these ancient gods that they worshiped and see how these Eastern religions work, you say they're on the same track. Let me put it that way.
Yeah.
One or two other things, highlights, before we get into the details, I guess. This, as you've already said, this is a prison epistle that Paul wrote. We find that in chapter 3, verse 1. And listen to his words. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. And then in chapter 4, 1, which I read earlier, I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord. And then, finally, in chapter 6, verse 20, as he closes out, he says, for which I'm an ambassador in chains. And, Alex, again, the reason that is so important, here is, a lot of it, he's talking about the riches that you have in Jesus Christ when he is, under house arrest. He's a prisoner. And so we find that. Also, two or three other things I wanted to mention. You know, I'm going to count words. At least 35 times you have a reference to the term in Christ. Now, maybe in him or with him or with Christ, but 35 times, and that's what he's referring to. And most of it's in the first three chapters, as you said earlier, his position. Two other things real quickly, and I'll throw it back to you. 9 times he refers to the Ephesian Christians as saints. Now, again, set apart. In our day, we have a wrong opinion of what, quote, sainthood is. Sainthood is your position in Christ. You've been set apart by him. One more, and that is he mentions grace 12 times, Alex.
Yes.
The book of Ephesians is a book of God's great grace, isn't it?
Well, it really is. And in the very first sentence, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is one of the prison epistles. You know, Bert, people whenever they talk about, you know, Paul was in a Roman prison when he wrote so many of his letters, and I've always heard it said there were three, but there were really four: Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, but also Philemon. You know,
yeah.
And but you're right. In Christ appears almost three dozen times. Chapter 1, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Verse 5, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace by which he made us accepted in the beloved. Now, Romans 8:29 says that we are predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ if you're a born-again Christian. But here it says adopted, God's good pleasure, God's knowledge, predestined. Now, Bert, if this were the only verse we had, Ephesians 1:5, we might not see the full picture. I'll say this, as Spurgeon said, the Bible unequivocally presents the sovereignty of God, but also the responsibility of man. If we hear the gospel and understand it, we really are duty-bound to receive it and accept it. Now, how does human free will dovetail with God's providence? I don't know. I just know they're both in the Bible, don't
they're you? They're in the Bible. I read this several places, and I don't know who was the first. I heard it was a professor. I'm sure it's in seminary. It says, try to explain election, and you may lose your mind. Try to explain it away, and you might lose your soul. They work, they do, Alex. Only God. Listen, the mystery, not mystic, but the mystery of the power of God is best illustrated in sovereignty and free will. Praise God that he's given us that opportunity to know him.
The AFR app is a powerful tool, but it does have limitations. You can't use it to change the oil in your vehicle or get rid of carpet stains. It won't walk the dog, won't pick up the dry cleaning or take the kids to practice. But while you're doing those things, you can listen to your favorite AFR content through the app on your phone, smart device, or Roku. Just go to your app store or visit AFR.net. Listen to AFR wherever you go with the AFR app.
Amen. Amen. Welcome back to Exploring the Word. Indescribable. You know, we are in the book of Ephesians, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but Bert, one of the things I've loved about the book of Ephesians, how it talks about the body of Christ, one body, one Holy Spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And it's not a long book, but it's a great, great foundational book for the believer of any part of the journey. If you're a new believer or if you've walked with the Lord for decades, Ephesians is great. And Bert, before we resume that, let's talk a little bit about listener testimonies. I'm very blessed. On the road every weekend, like just this past weekend, I was at a great church in South Carolina, and so many people came up and it's very humbling. They say how they love the American Family Radio Network, and they love Exploring the Word, and they ask questions about Bert and, you know, everything. But the listener testimonies really do, they encourage us, don't they?
They really do. And the reason we want them is not because we're wanting you to brag on AFR. We want the Lord to be bragged on. And we're having Share-a-thon. It'll come up next month. And so what we do during Share-a-thon, it's my favorite part of Share-a-thon, if you want to know the truth, is listening to the listener testimonies about what God has done in individuals' lives. And so right now, you can start calling. Let me give you the number, and I'll give it to you again. This is separate from the number you call to ask questions. This is the one for listener testimonies. So write it down, put it in, pray about, okay, God, do you want me to do that? And share what God's doing. And so here it is, 877-876-8893. That's the number you want to call, 877-876-8893, and leave a minute or two listener testimonies. You can write it out. You can plan it and do it any way you do. Would share. But we would love to hear that. You may get to hear your voice on AFR. And somebody would say, man, my voice sure does sound a lot better than Bert Harper's on there. And Brent agrees here. He's shaking his head, yes. But we would love to hear from you. So make that call, 877-876-8893. Alex, before I hand it back to you, I got something to say to you.
Okay.
Happy birthday.
Well, thank you, Bert. Thank you very much. And yes, today is my birthday, and I am thankful that God gave me life.
Amen. It's a great day. We have a friend, Dave Dabney, he let me know this morning that it was your birthday, and we appreciate that. We call him Birthday Dave around here because he keeps up with our birthdays and lets us know about it. And so, but happy birthday, brother.
Well, thank you, and praise God for life and the privilege of serving the Lord Jesus. You know, it says in verse 3 that he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing, and that's true. Let me pick it up at verse 7. Regarding Jesus, it says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. Bert, first of all, redemption through the blood of Jesus, the forgiveness according to grace. Salvation is by grace, not works. I'm sure everybody's heard this acronym, G-R-A-C-E, God's riches at Christ's expense. And Bert, when we realize it's grace, we didn't deserve forgiveness, but he loves us so much, he offers it to us. Bert, I've got to say, I think we don't, at least in the circles where I travel, I don't think we hear enough about grace. It's not performance. It's not something earned, but it's God's love, even though we didn't deserve it.
It is, and that is who God is. He's the holy God and loving God. Now, that's his characteristics. If I had to say the two big characteristics of our God, regardless of power or anything, is his holiness and his love. He combines those in Jesus Christ, and that's it. Now, Alex, one more thing about this first chapter, and again, notice it, and you see it three times, and I think it's referring to the riches of his grace. That's the last phrase in verse 7, the riches of his grace. I think it's unfathomable. I think it is just immeasurable. His grace is that strong. Now, he's holy. That doesn't diminish the holiness of God. It does not diminish the fear we have of God, that knowing that God is God, and we're going to answer to him, the Creator, the Redeemer. But notice this in verse 6. It says, to the praise of the glory of his grace. Then, if you look down in verse 12, and we hadn't got there yet, but notice this. It's kind of like an outline. Verse 12, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. It doesn't end. Look at verse 14, the latter part. The redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. When Paul opens this up to the church at Ephesus, he's letting them know of God's grace, the praise we have for what? His glory. His grace demonstrates his glory, Alex. That's how glorious. His holiness demonstrates his glory. And we call it the Shekinah glory of God. And so, Alex, we are to live in that. And that's what I think that's what the book of Ephesians is trying to get across. He demonstrates, like you said earlier, the first three chapters, our position in Christ that brings him glory. And then our practice, because of his grace, his mercy, his power, is to demonstrate, to show his glory. Alex, that's what we're to, what was the catechism? The Westminster Catechism about
what
the whole
duty? What
is
the chief end of man?
That's
or
the first
purpose.
Thing, isn't it? That's the first one they tell us, isn't it, in that catechism?
And do you know what? Let me just say, I think I might have heard this when I was in about first grade, because I grew up Presbyterian, and we were taught to memorize the children's shorter catechism. And the word end, E-N-D, we always think of like the stopping of something, like it's the end of the road. But really the word end has purpose or intent, or yeah. Teleos is the word. What is the chief end of man? To glorify God and enjoy him forever. Amen. And Bert, I remember I was a little Amen. Kid, didn't know anything about anything, and I thought, to glorify God, okay, I think I know what that might mean, to praise God and enjoy him forever. And I remember thinking, enjoy God? How would you do that? And, you know, for one thing, one of the ways that my soul overflows with gratitude and worship is that God created me. And all of us, think about it. I mean, the Lord didn't have to create any one of us. And let me just say this, and I want to do something with verse 9. In philosophy, and that was... I was very privileged to get a philosophy degree from a very godly school, Liberty University, under people like Norman Geisler and Gary Habermas and J.P. Moreland, brilliant, godly people. In philosophy, they say the greatest property or attribute is existence. I mean, you could imagine something or, you know, hypothetical this or hypothetical that, but... you know, one good deed is better than 100 good intentions. You know, existence is the most valuable of any property. Life, L-I-F-E. And here's the thing. God endowed to us the two greatest, most desirable things. One, life or existence, and then salvation.
Amen.
And you know, like you say, the catechism, I mean, just reflect on this, folks, maybe before you go to bed, like, you know, Lord, what would you have me do? That's what Saul asked. And Samuel said, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. I mean, God gave us life, and every life has a purpose. And the number one purpose is to know Jesus. But then he takes us with all of our background, our makeup, our experiences, and he uses us for his glory and our blessings. And let me segue here. Verse 8 talks about God made us to abound in all wisdom and prudence. Now, verse 9, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure in which he purposed in himself. Bert, I read that the word mystery occurs in the Bible 27 times. I mean, there is the mystery of iniquity. That's in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 7. Evil is in this world. Why doesn't God just snuff it out right this minute? But then there is the mystery of Israel's blindness. That's Romans 11, 25. Why didn't they see their Savior? But there is, in so many places like Ephesians 1, Ephesians 3, Romans 16, Colossians 1, the mystery of Jesus Christ, the gospel, and the church. And what's so beautiful, Bert, and I'll throw it back to you, is how God has revealed to us things the human mind could never have come up with on its own. How Jews and Gentiles are united into one body in Christ Jesus. God's redemptive plan with what he's revealed and the deep, secret, hidden things of the mind of God. He has revealed to us these divine, hidden truths. Isn't that a blessing?
It is. And again, Alex, when you say that, it is just beyond anything that we can know him. And he is knowable. The words that really gets my attention, all the, verse 9's got so much in it. I mean,
Amen.
You know, we can't even, we would spend the rest of the week really on this, but there's two words that really grab me, according to, okay?
Amen.
Not according to me, not according to what a church might do, but it's according to his good pleasure. What is his pleasure? His pleasure is for us to know him, that we love him and come into this relationship with him. He's talked about this relationship earlier. You know, he talked about two words, and I want to go back to it just a little bit, not to go back in detail, but to refer to. We're not only adopted, but we're accepted. The two big A's, I call it. We are adopted in Christ. In other words, we were born again. But adoption means we get the benefits now. When you're born and you're a baby, you don't get all that we do. But because of our salvation that we have adopted, and it's ours that God has made known to us and given to us, and we're accepted. Not only, Alex, he accepts us. You know, like, the only word I can say is like something that's been bought by a precious price, and we're accepted in him. He accepts us on his merit, not on our own, but because of faith. He accepts us. How does it feel to be accepted, and put it with these words, according to his good pleasure? Here it is. I want to use the three A's, and this will preach in one sermon. You have adoption, accepted, and according to his good pleasure.
Amen.
That's what we have in Christ, isn't it?
Well, it is. It is verse 6. I've always loved this phraseology, the way it's worded, accepted in the beloved. And the word beloved is capital B, not just accepted into the family of God, but who is the beloved? It's Jesus. It's Jesus. And you know what's amazing is this. It goes in verse 10, in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. Now, one, O-N-E, There's a phrase Chuck Colson used to use a lot about what is Jesus doing, restoring all things. And I think perhaps people think, well, the work of Christ was on the cross, which it was. I mean, and we will in just a matter of weeks be celebrating Easter, and that's so precious and so special, and I hope you'll reflect on it deeply. But let me say this, even before the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem, God was planning for salvation. In the 33 years when Christ was here on earth, he was paying the price. And now during the church age, and it seems like a long time, 2,000 years, but look, I think about all the gospel has gone around the world. Israel is back in their land. The gospel from the printing press to the radio towers, God has revealed his saving message to the world. And Bert, I think it's just amazing that you and I and everybody listening, listen, folks, if you're a believer, you've put your faith in Christ, then rejoice in the security. It's a done deal. He is gathering all things to himself. Now, the world, as dangerous and violent and crazy as the world is, sometimes you might think the train is off the tracks. Don't believe it. Christ is on the throne. He is in control. His will is being carried out, and we are secure in him, gathered as one to Christ Jesus, the King of Kings. I get encouragement for this. Bert, we're not going to do like John MacArthur and spend 1 year on one verse. Although we just about could, couldn't we?
We really could. One last thing. By the way, he purposed in us and in him. What a purpose. That number, 888-589-8840. It's the Day of Prayer. We would love to hear your prayer request. 888-589-8840. Preborn's whole mission is to rescue babies from abortion and lead their families to Christ. Last year, Preborn's network of clinics saw 8,900 mothers come to Christ. Please join us in this life-saving mission. To donate, go to preborn.com/AFR. Don't stop praying. Don't stop calling on Jesus' name. Keep on pounding on heaven's door. Let your knees well out the floor. Don't stop believing.
Don't stop praying. Don't stop believing. Hey, welcome back to Exploring the Word on the American Family Radio Network. I want to give the telephone number if you've got a Bible question, and also on Tuesdays we call it a day of prayer. And if you have a prayer need, we would love to join you and agree with you in prayer. But the number, toll-free, it's 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. Bible questions, prayer requests, we would love to hear from you. Hey, Bert, can I share a question that came in online? And by the way, we'd love to hear from you. You may email us if you want to email Bert and myself, and it will get to us. And that's word@afr.net. May I share one that came
in? Go right ahead, man. You bet.
Somebody emails and says, is being saved a one-time event? Is being saved a one-time event? Bert, comment on that, would you please?
Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. That's a one-time event. There was the conception, there was the growth, but then there is the birth. It is an event. Been there with three sons, and it is an event. Yes, it is an event followed by. It's not an event that stands alone. I'd say it that way, Alex. It has growth afterwards if it's real. Amen. Go ahead.
And, you know, we've often said this. There's Christian birth and there's Christian growth. Christian birth is that moment when you put your faith in Jesus. And so to everybody listening, if you're, you know, wondering, and make sure today. Just no matter where you are, just in the privacy of your own heart, you can call out to Jesus. You say, Lord, I admit that I'm a sinner. I'm sorry for my sins, but I believe Jesus is the Son of God, as he said, Lord, when you went to the cross, Lord, I believe you did that for me. And dear Jesus, come into my life, wash my sins away, and help me to follow you. Bert, there's a number of ways you could say it, but being saved is when you confess your sin, you put your trust, your belief in Jesus, and you ask him. And he's promised if you ask for salvation, he will forgive you.
He will. He has me. And read the book of Acts. Look how Paul was saved. Listen to how the Philippian jailer was saved. I mean, you know, it is an event that God brings about in his time. I would even the Ethiopian eunuch, how many times it's filled with it. So, yes, and experience that grace that only God can give. Well, let's go to the phone lines. And first, here in Mississippi is Thomas. Thomas, thank you for calling. Go right ahead. Thomas, are you there?
Oh, yes, sir. Hello, guys. I heard a ding, so it kind of blocked out what y'all were saying.
Go right ahead, man.
All right. Well, I've got two prayer requests. The Landry family, the head of that, Colby, just found out that he has lymphoma. They don't know what specific type. He's getting a biopsy for that, but he will need chemo. He is having a chemo port surgically put into him. So please pray for the Landry family with him. And then also his wife's currently pregnant with their sixth child. So they've got a lot on their plate. And then another family that I'm very close with, the BB family, my friend Catherine just lost her grandmother, and she was very, very close with her family, and I'm thankful unto the Lord that she is saved. But just that's hit them very, very hard. So please pray for both of them. Both
Thomas, thank you. Thank you for concern. Isn't it awesome to have friends that pray for you, Alex?
Amen. And the first one, the gentleman that's got a chemo port and cancer, what was his name?
What was it, Thomas? I couldn't get.
Was it Colby Landry?
Landry.
Colby Landry.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm writing this down. We certainly will pray.
Okay. Go ahead, Alex. Yeah.
Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, thank you that you are the healer. And Lord, you invite us to bring our needs and petitions. We especially lift up the Landry family and Colby with this diagnosis of cancer and wife pregnant, carrying their child. Lord, give this family just added strength, just a double measure of your grace and strength and hope and joy. And Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for Colby that he would get healed. Lord, in Jesus' name, whether you miraculously deliver him or use human medical treatments, but Lord, we pray for health, for vitality, and that this cancer is vanquished in Jesus' name. And then I pray for the BB family. They lost their grandmother. And Lord, we rejoice that she is with you, but comfort the bereaved. And no doubt there are many others listening, so many bereavements and deaths. Lord, may we find our comfort, our consolation in you, and point others to you as well in all of life's situations. We lift these things to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Thomas. Well, let's go to Tennessee and talk to Robert. Robert, thank you for calling in today. Go right ahead.
It is so wonderful to talk to you guys, and I heard that Alex had a birthday today. I wanted to wish him a happy birthday because it is so nice to be able to have a birthday together with Alex because it is my birthday as well today.
Well, so happy birthday, Alex. God bless you. All the March 10 people, happy birthday. And hold that thought, sir, don't leave. But I got to give a big shout out to a longtime listener. And if AFA ever had a great friend, it's Birthday Dave, Dave Dabney, and he sent me a recording of Happy Birthday that he sang, and so thank you, sir, and thanks to Birthday Dave. But what else you got there, brother?
Oh, just Genesis 6:3, God said that he's holding everybody to 120 years, and I have made it to the halfway point.
Amen. Well, happy birthday, Robert. May God give you many more. Hey, Brent, did you say we had a prayer request by word or Facebook?
First off, we have birthday wishes for Alex from Nancy and Hannah. And then we have a prayer request from Sarah. She wants prayers for her dad, Bill. He's going through multiple serious health issues. Also, her uncle Richard had an aneurysm and is slowly healing from it.
Okay, let me pray for those. Father, I thank you for Sarah calling, and I do pray that you would be with those loved ones, Father Bill and Uncle Richard. God, they stand in need, and it's awesome when family and friends gather together and they ask and they come to you, praising you first for life, as Alex said, to have life and then to have redemption from you. Father, both of them come from you, and I pray you would restore these, help them in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you again. Let's go to Susan in Virginia. Susan, thank you for calling.
Well, happy birthday to Alex. And I wanted to, I actually have a praise verse. I think it might have been about a month ago. I was struggling with walking a long ways because of an injury. You all prayed better, excited about our trip to Israel, which, of course, was canceled. But I was one of 18 people who were going on both parts of the trip. So now they were able to get us on a flight, but we're not together with the other people going through Germany. We'll be going through Turkey. So I do have a little bit of concern there. So could you pray for the 18 people? I don't even know them, but I'm one of them, one of the eight.
Okay. What happened? Going to Israel, Alex and Angie were going, but things happened that's going on. And that brings us continue to pray for our military and their operations that are taking place there in Israel and Iran, and pray for those Iranian believers strict. But Susan, Alex, they're going to get to go to the second part, which is Greece. So we want to pray for Susan that she'll have all the strength and also for her connections flying, don't we?
Yeah, we really do. And Tim Wildman and I were going to be teaching in a number of locations in Israel, and just it happened that the war with Iran came about, so the Israel thing is not going to happen. But I rejoice that they are the ones that were going to go and do the footsteps of Paul in Greece and such. I'm thrilled they're getting to do that. And let me pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for safety, Lord, as they... Lord, give them just traveling mercies, airplanes, connections, passports, these things. And Lord, just let it be a great time as they go and they see places, Greece, where you've done mighty, mighty works. And I pray they would bring the fire and the zeal back to the USA, and you'll do a great and mighty work here. And we lift all these travelers, Tim Wildman and Allison and the whole tour group. And Lord, we do pray for the peace of Jerusalem, Psalm 122, verse 6. And Lord, when it's your time, we'll do our best to get back over there to the holy city, Jerusalem. And Lord, we commit it all to you in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Susan. Have a wonderful time. Let's go to Kansas. Danny, thank you for calling, Exploring the Word. Go right ahead, brother.
Bert, Alex?
Yes.
Love the show, man. Really been a blessing to me. I stumbled upon it probably like 6 months ago, and I'm addicted to it. You guys do a great job.
God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you, Danny. Hey, there are good addictions, Alex. Thank you, Danny. Go ahead, man. Go ahead.
But my prayer request is for my wife, Nicole. She's got like 2-3 centimeter big kidney stones, and she's going in to have a procedure done. And I just would like you to lift her up because her faith is lacking, and it's a struggle for her. So I just want you guys to lift her up and pray that everything goes according to plan.
We'll do it. Listen, pain has a way to work its way into difficulty and doubt. I tell you, It really, where are you, God, when you're in that pain? And I know the kidney stones is one of them. Danny, we're going to pray for you right now. Father, I thank you for Danny. I thank you for his love for his wife that comes across in this request. And I pray for Nicole. I pray, God, that you would, as he said, that the procedure would go as planned, and they were able to take care of this pain, this issue. And God, we trust you. And I pray that her right now, it's, you know, sometimes our faith is weaker. And thank God that we have husbands and children and brothers and sisters and friends, that when we are down and not able to do all that, that we have those that lift us up. And God, I pray that you'd lift Nicole up and meet her need of taking care of this. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Danny. Amen. Appreciate that. Well, let's go to the home state of Alex McFarland, North Carolina, and talk to Michael. Michael, go right ahead.
Yes, sir. Just wanted to say that enjoy your guys' show. Watch it or listen to it every day on the way home. That's what I listen to. But I had a question. My wife and I were discussing it. We have a home church that we do on Sundays, and then we have a conference coming up this weekend that we do every year. But my question was, I know the life of Moses and some of the good things that he did. And, you know, I had heard, and I couldn't find it in the Bible, or I probably just overlooked it, that he didn't make it to heaven. He got a glimpse of it, but he didn't get into heaven. So I just wondered if that was true or where I could find it in the Bible.
Well, let me tell you this, and Alex, you do the full answer. He got a glimpse of the Holy Land. He got on that Mount Pisgah, and he could look over and see the land that God had promised him to go into, but because of sin, he didn't get to go there. That's not true about heaven. Go ahead, Alex.
Yeah, I do. Moses went to heaven, and I think I can document that. But in Deuteronomy 34, he dies on Mount Nebo, and he sees Canaan land afar off. He did not, at that point, get to enter the promised land, but he definitely, when his body died, he went to heaven, because when you get in Matthew 17 over in the New Testament, and Peter, James, and John are on the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus, Elijah appears, the glory of Jesus is displayed, but guess who's also there, Bert?
Was it Moses?
It was Moses. So, yeah, he lost his temper, and he sinned, and he struck the rock, which really represented Christ. So he, after leading the children of Israel 40 years, he didn't get in the promised land humanly, but I believe his soul definitely did go to heaven, and we'll see him there.
I agree with you. Michael, thank you, and I pray that y'all have a good conference with the meeting that you got coming in. We're going to try one more time for one more person. It's Pandy in Texas. Go right ahead.
Yes, hi. I'm just calling to find out if you can pray for my aunt. She's in Delaware, and she has Alzheimer's. Mm. And my cousin says she's probably in her final stages. Mm. She sent her to respite this week, but she's immobile, talking gibberish, and she doesn't recognize me. She thinks I'm her sister, her mom, my mom. Mm. And just praying for the family. My cousin, who's 10 years older than me, has been taking care of her, and her older sister has unforgiveness in her heart, so she doesn't help her.
Well, we're going to pray for that, Pandy. We will. We're running out of time. God, I pray that you would help this lady. God, it's tough. It's tough on the family, hard when it's like that. But you can have dementia of some kind, but have clarity in your soul. And I pray that you'd help the family. And we pray this and believe this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, Alex,
amen.
Hope you have a continued happy birthday, brother.
Well, thanks. And thanks, everybody, for listening to Exploring the Word. Read on in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10. We'll pick it up tomorrow. In the meantime, tell somebody about Exploring the Word, but most of all, tell everybody about Jesus.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.